light on our lives. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So over here in James, I don't know that we'll read any of these verses per se, maybe a couple of them, but just give you some thoughts of this little letter. So James seems like the same apostle from Acts 15 who directs these letters to be written, who explains what's going on with Jews and Gentiles. And so that being said, he says a few things in this little letter that, and I'll start off this way, that seem to be different sometimes from Paul. And there, I thought they were the wording exactly, sounds exactly opposite in some places, but you can't really take these sound bites. You got to take everything that's being said. I'll give you an example. So James, as a general rule, James talks a lot about faith. And I've heard, because of who this is addressed to, the 12 tribes scattered abroad, that James is, you know, trying to get the Jews back under Moses or back to the law, things like that. Interestingly enough, though, James is the guy that says if you don't keep the whole law, then you can't, you're a sinner. I mean, you're a lawbreaker. So he's not directing people to Mosaic law. He's also describing, and he has described faith in such detail in this letter. In fact, faith shows up more in this little letter than 60 other books in the Bible. And for a short letter like this, that's a lot. In fact, I did a little bit of math with this, but faith shows up every 9 verses in James. So that's James's point, is faith and what it is. And so he's not describing how you need to do the works of the law and things like that. He's describing faith. He's describing the activity of faith. And I know sometimes maybe he describes it in ways that are uncomfortable to us. And I'll give you one place where it seems like he contradicts Paul, or Paul contradicts him. And I'll show you the 2 verses, but then I want to explain, because it's very, very easy to explain what's happening in the context. So James chapter 2, verse 24 says this, and if you just do the news media drive-by type, pull the words out, just a little phrase, sound bite style, then you're going to miss the bigger picture and you will see a contradiction here, but there's not a contradiction. So James chapter 2, verse 24 says this, and here's the soundbite version, just the soundbite. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Huh. All right, so what does Paul say? Galatians chapter 2. Yeah, let's look at Galatians. So this is probably the hardest place to explain in James. So we're gonna deal with it right off the bat here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by what? The works of what? The works of the law. Paul's issue is people being self-righteous with the law. James' issue is not people being self-righteous with the law. James is dealing with works or faith that has no effect in anyone's life. And here's the examples he uses to clear the whole thing up. If James was talking about works of the law, the 2 examples he uses don't match what he would be saying. He uses Abraham, who's not under the law. He's before the law. And then he uses Rahab, who is a Gentile, who's not under the law. So when James says works, He's not talking about works of the law the way Paul talks about works of the law. In fact, James isn't even talking about works of the law. James is just talking about activity, like deeds, just doing something. Paul is talking about works of the law in the way that a Pharisee would use the law to justify himself. So if you just do the media drive-by type soundbite version, and you just take a phrase out of this verse and a phrase out of another verse of Paul, some people said, well, see, they're saying different things, but they're not talking about the same thing. So in the examples, again, that James uses proves he's not talking about works of the law, whereas Paul is specifically talking about legalism as far as the Pharisees are concerned, and people trying to get Christians under Moses. You know, these Jews are trying to get Christians under Moses and say, look, you got to, yeah, Jesus is good, but you got to also add Moses. And Paul says, no. Moses doesn't improve Jesus. Moses doesn't improve anything. Moses was a foreshadowing. He points to Jesus Christ. So that's probably the most difficult place in James. And I wanted to show that to you, get that kind of dealt with, because if you're just going to deal with a few phrases or a little phrase here without the context, yeah, it sounds like they're saying different things, but they're actually not even talking about the same type of things that one another is talking about. One is talking about works of the law, which he says in Galatians. James is just talking about deeds, just activity, some sort of effect that faith would produce. In Rahab, it produced that she hid the spies. In Abraham, it produces this sacrificial, really the offering of Isaac there in Genesis 22, which he talks about. So that's probably the most difficult thing. It makes it pretty clear when it comes to the law, James is the one guy that says if a man offends in one point of the law, guilty of all. That's James 2:10. So he isn't encouraging people to go under Moses. That has nothing to do with what he's talking about. And so don't get those things confused. He's not trying to get Jews back under the law to improve their standing with God. That's not what he believes. He doesn't teach salvation by works of the law. That's not what he's teaching. He tells the readers, in fact, that they're sinners back there in the first chapter. And so he is contesting really a faith that is a profession versus a faith that is effective. And think of it in context of where he is. The biggest enemy, really, of the gospel and of Christianity at this time is the Jewish religion that was belonged to the Pharisees, it belonged to Paul. This was the biggest enemy of the gospel. And so regularly there were people coming in, it sounds like, professing Jesus. So they would say, yeah, Jesus, that's good, but you also need to add Moses to this, and you also need to, and it seems even in Acts 15, you just read about it. Paul writes an entire letter about this in Galatians. And so they're contesting this profession of faith where there's nothing really has changed in this person's life. All they're doing is professing Jesus, and this is what they're dealing with quite often, it seems like. So consider that James is writing, he's writing to the 12 tribes. He says nothing of circumcision. He's not, because that's not what he's trying to get at. He's explaining faith. And he's explaining faith in using a few different examples, but he's explaining the same faith that Paul explains. So again, he's not dealing with circumcision. He's not dealing with Moses' law. That's not his goal, to get this group of people that are receiving this letter back under Moses because they're Jews. That would be a clear misunderstanding of the new covenant, a clear misunderstanding of what Jesus Christ has done. And so that's not what he's trying to do. His point, His point was that Christianity was and is the fruition and the product of true Judaism. And we've dealt with this a few times. We're going to talk more about it in Sunday school. But Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. Judaism, the true religion of Judaism, looking for a Messiah, waiting for a Messiah, anticipating Messiah, Jesus Christ. Christ, that's the Messiah. He is the one they're looking for. He's the one. And so in Him, Paul would say in Jesus, you know, all the law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ for righteousness to them that would believe. He is the fulfillment. So Christianity is the fulfillment. It perfects Judaism. This is what James is trying to explain. He's applying a lot of what was said in Hebrews, really, and it seems like that's the order of these things. But what Hebrews deals with doctrinally and lays out this new covenant, James starts to, he applies this new covenant. So James points that Christianity really is the fruition and product of true Judaism. He explained, we went over that, many Jews making a profession while still adding circumcision and things like that to this profession because they didn't believe that Christ was enough. So James explains that it's not, this is a false gospel, this idea that you need to add Moses, and Paul really explains it in Galatians, but this is James's perspective. And the child of God that possesses eternal life is someone who has the characteristics of the Son of God. That's someone that is characteristic of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, because that's where their faith is. They have that image. And so this is what James is explaining. Like I said, the word faith, it shows up many times in this book. In chapter 1, you've got qualifying faith, you've got prayer of faith, asking in faith, you've got impartial faith, like how is this applied in life among people. He talks about being rich in faith. Chapter 2, unprofitable faith. He deals with just faith that's vain, it doesn't have any effect. And then prayer of faith at the end. And so James really writes about victorious faith. And he says things like, don't tell me about your faith, show me. You just don't, I don't want to hear a profession. If it's not affecting you, show me. You tell me about your faith, let me show you what my faith has done. So James says it's really impossible to convince anyone of your faith without faithful works. If what someone calls faith has not produced anything in their lives, he'll say they're deceived about what they call faith. James is really, he's impossible to handle for an easy believism type setup of religion, and because he doesn't put up with the professions. It's really why James was hated, this little letter was hated by Martin Luther, because Martin Luther thought he was teaching that works is what's saving people. It's not what James is saying. He's just describing faith a lot of times. But Martin Luther was so antagonistic to the Catholic version of salvation that he just hated James because it sounded like the Catholicism he was into. But it's not. That's not what James is talking about. So he's teaching people to do right when they can. James does. He teaches people to do right when they can, to close their mouths when they shouldn't talk, to not be a respecter of titles or bank accounts. But, you know, doing these things doesn't... If you do these things, they're self-righteous things, you know, and this is what James is against. And he's against the self-righteousness. He's for applying God's righteousness to their own lives. And that's what you apply the righteousness of God to your life. So you can expect really this letter to be kind of troubling to anyone who professes a faith in Christ but doesn't have any real concern for their sin. James would be troubling to that type of person. And in that case, the person will want the book to apply to anyone but them. On the other hand, James can be a big blessing to anybody who possesses saving faith, is serving God, and finds trouble along the way. He's going to deal with Christians in trouble and what to expect with that. I mean, how do you, if you trust Jesus Christ and you find yourself in trouble, he's the one that talks about trying faith and things like that. I've heard stuff about kind of what we talked about at the beginning. James, because of the address to the 12 tribes, that it's not for church, quote unquote, but the very end of the letter is addressed to church matters. And he says that. He'll say, take this before the church. So there's not a separation there. It's to the 12 tribes and it's dealing with church matters. So James is very practical. Sometimes he's hard to stomach, particularly if you're just professing something, you know, you're just talking about faith or something, but it hasn't really affected your life, or you're somebody who wants to live in your sin and profess Jesus Christ. But James is pretty hard on that stuff. And so because he is, he's very, very practical and very, I think when I say practical, it's biblical. It's just what Christianity is supposed to be. So true conversion, I think, would kind of sum up what he's dealing with here. True conversion. And he's not, once again, not contradicting Paul. They're not even talking about the same things. But again, if you do the soundbite version of those verses, you're going to think they're contradicting each other, but they're not. So James, he's good. He's going to be good. He talks about faith a lot. There's a lot about faith in here, so it's applicable and hopefully good. Hopefully a little bit change of pace from Jeremiah and the prophets there. But that's James. That's a little overview of the book. We'll get through it and we'll go through it. I don't know how many weeks we'll spend on it, but hopefully it's good. And that's what we got for a little introduction this evening. Let's pray and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. Pray it's helpful just to think about this little letter, and I think maybe a better perspective. I know I've got a better perspective on it. I feel like I've got a better perspective than I did before. But I pray that we would learn from it what we need to learn from it. And help us appreciate your words the way we need to appreciate them. And thank you again for each soul that's here this evening. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.